are studying this out. So those that are here and those that are watching online, they get kind of a sneak peek as to what we're going to be discussing. And so they actually get some up notes. All the rest, that if they're lagging behind, they're going to have to catch up. I am excited about this because, you see, there is the time. How many are thankful that the Lord ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father so he could send he, the Holy Spirit, back to us? But he gave us a promise that he would return. And the angel even said to the men, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here just looking and gazing into heaven? The same manner by which that you saw him go, he is going to come and return." And somebody say, between the two. We're going to talk about some parables that talk about what we do between the two. How many knows that we should work while we wait? We can worship while we wait, but we can also work while we wait. And these are the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand for the reading of the word? We're going to just read two verses first, and then I will go from there. In Matthew's Gospel 25, verses 14 through 30, we're reading in the New Living. And would you begin to read with us in concert? Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. I want you to notice several things in these key verses, and I want you to say them with me. First of all, entrusted his money. Second, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. His money, their ability. His money, their ability. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord as we dig this out upon tonight. I will say that I'm excited about this because the Lord put it upon my heart to begin to teach this to some proteges that I'm training and ministries, to begin to look deeper, and not only to Eagle Heights Worship Center, but also to them, to look deeper at the meanings of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that the Lord says here, he's going to tell what the kingdom of heaven it can be likened unto. Everybody say the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Now, to put a kind of an understanding on, but as you go into the Bible scholarship, you'll begin to understand that there's kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. And many times that we see kingdom of God and who God the Father is over that kingdom. Kingdom of heaven encompasses one of the major things is that Jesus Christ, being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has gone to get the fullness of his kingdom so that when he returns, he has his brand new raised from the dead resurrected body. He is going to resurrect the dead in Christ, and those that remain are going to be changed. And then he is going to fully return to the earth to set up his kingdom as king over all nations, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How many knows that when he comes back, he's not coming back to walk the shores of Galilee again and do his first works over. He's not coming back to be the lamb for sinners slain. He already did that. He's coming back as the roaring lion of Judah. For the Bible says that when he comes back, he will come back to judge and make war. He's not coming back nice. He's coming back firm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we're going to dig out what he was telling all about it, because we have an inside scoop in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, understands, being the Word embodied, he understands everything about the kingdom, and he's trying to teach us about the kingdom that we're in. That we didn't just get saved to sit on pews and talk about the Lord, and it just, that's what we got to do, is get saved over and over and over again. No, we are in a family of God and part of the kingdom. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. But see, sometimes that does not resonate because we're up against the things the world says, and we need to understand more about what the Lord says about the kingdom of heaven, because he said his disciples are not of this world, but while they're in this world. Now, there is a lot of people that have taught things, and I get a little kick out of it, that they want to escape and the church to go away. And then I got to say, well, read the rest because we're supposed to come back. So this world is not my home. The system is not my home. But the Lord is coming back and returning. And I plan to be one of the ones, I hope you do too, the ones that come back in a glorified body. And we will be with him to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Say, we're not getting away. We're not going all the way out to some other stratosphere. We're going to come. He's going to be in the clouds. We're going to meet him in the clouds. And then we're coming back for his rule and his reign. Somebody shout hallelujah. Won't that be a hallelujah time? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to see that Jesus illustrates the kingdom of heaven in a parable, describing himself as the man that's going on a long trip for a long time. How many knows that he did some of these things in parables for them to understand that he would not immediately take over the seat of David and change everything right when he got up out of the tomb. That once he ascended, there was going to be a long trip, which really for him is not long because he instantly ascended. It's a long time. How many knows a long trip takes a long time? So he's talking here in a parable that this is a long time period. So we have now close over 2,000 years from that time that this must be a long time. How many knows 2,000 years longer than our life? So it must be a long time. So before he leaves, he delegates and distributes trust to servants. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. Who are his servants at that time? Disciples. He then has qualified already who are his disciples, because the Lord wants us to go from believer to disciple. And disciple is a student, a pupil, a follower, one who is just incredibly after whatever the master's knowledge is. I want that. See, so to be a disciple, you can't be a pew warmer every now and then. To be a disciple, you got to be a pursuer. A learner of the word, one who wants to pursue the things of God. How many are glad you're disciples and learners of the word? Also, you want to pursue him so much that whatever he says, even if it takes a discipline, that you know that the discipline pushes you forward and sharpens your axe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so he teaches us this, that when before he leaves, he delegates and distributes to the trust. And he talks about three types of servants in them as each servant. He leaves to these three servants his money. Now, how many know that as the Lord goes to the cross, he is now out of money? And he goes to the cross and becomes poor that we might be rich. And there is nothing more in the tills. That's why Judas got all bent out of shape, is because there wasn't no money left for him to steal. So he betrays the Lord. So we're not talking about regular money. But the Lord is saying everything in here is a type and a shadow and an illustration, a symbol of something else. So if he mentions his money, the money of the man leaving, the money of Jesus, the currency of the kingdom, the very wealth of the master is what he's talking about. So I've studied this out. Matter of fact, my academic paper, along with two other professors in Missouri State University, is based upon the fact that we must be unto others an integrity in business and biblical principles. We tackled the very parable of the talents from a purely financial and economic standpoint about integrity. But the Lord wants to show us something a little deeper. Because you see, everything in this story tells us and defines more than what we think of on our regular basis of our regular job and lifestyle and so on, talking about the kingdom. So he delegates. Somebody say, if I'm a disciple, the Lord can trust me to delegate something to me and to distribute his money when he's gone. See, transacting of business on his behalf. He said, I give you my name and my authority that whatever you ask, whatever you need to do the things that I've told you to do, then you have access to these resources and you have the authority to call upon them. So these servants, these followers, he has taught, trained, and tested each servant. If we just take a look at it from the illustration point, we find that this master is not giving his money to newbies. He's not giving his money and entrusting them to untrained, untaught, and just wild horses. He needs folks that he can teach, that have a teachable spirit, that once they're taught, they remember what they're taught and practice what they're taught. Also, they are trained, and then they are tested. Now, I was a financial professional for over 20 years, and I will tell you that I got no accounts entrusted to me to try to invest for other people's money in any way, shape, or form if I hadn't been taught, trained, and tested. Am I right, Brother Tim? And still got to do follow-up tests so that they know you ain't going with amnesia. Going dull. Got to stay sharp. Everybody say it's got to stay sharp. So the disciples, now, the man in the story, Jesus, has faith in the servants, disciples, that they can do the assignment that he gives. Somebody say, the Lord has faith in the one he's taught, trained, and tested. Ooh, if I am taught, trained, and tested, the Lord can trust me. So somebody say, I'm taught, trained, tested, and trusted. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Let's go on. Praise the Lord. In verse 15, it said, the owner of the money chooses how to give the financial assignment to each. He does not let his servants decide what they want. He makes the assignment and gives the resources, the assets, and he defines how he's going to assign it. He matches the amount of money to the amount of ability. So he is going to give greater amount of money to the greater ability, and he's going to give medium money to the medium ability, and he's going to give the smallest amount of money to the smallest ability. And this is not unjust or unfair. This is wise business. So he has entrusted a huge honor and opportunity. See, right here, to have a wealthy person, not even talking about the Lord, have a wealthy person, have you taught, trained, trusted, and tested and trusted to be able then to take their money and begin to do something on the business part of it, that is a great honor and a responsibility and opportunity. The decision is made by his evaluation. So the Lord is evaluating here each and every one's skill set, knowledge, understanding, tested education, personal and intellectual empowerment, confidence, and etc. So to these that the Lord has evaluated, he gives 5 to the one that has a greater evaluation. He gives 2 to the one with a medium evaluation. And he gives a 3rd to the one with the lesser evaluation. But they all have the same opportunity. They all have the same honor. He did not throw any of them out and say, you know what? You're worthless. No, I'm going to give you this opportunity because I've poured into you. I've invested into you, and now you are ready. Somebody say, there's a place where the Lord says you're ready. To do what? Oh, I'm glad you asked. To be a great steward and to manage money. Praise the Lord. Turn his money. Say, I'm in management. See, when you are a son in training, you're in training for management. And when you're a manager, that's also what it means by stewardship. If you read in the King James, it's stewardship. If you read in the other translations, it's management. If you look up stewardship in any of the dictionaries, it also sends you directly to management. So somebody say, even though he calls me a servant, I'm management material. Because my birthright says I'm a son. All right. So management is the ability, look at this, the ability to keep what is given moving. Everything that God has is moving. His spirit is moving. His power is moving. His embrace is a moving experience. Everything that he does is moving. It says, as the prophet said, that God's throne is forever moving forward. He is moving forward. And so we're always sharpened in the push. Man, moving. So everything that is managed in God is moving. Everything that's managed in God is functioning according to the purpose he's given. Everything that is management of God's stuff is going forward while the owner is away. See, if we just look at it from the job career place, you can always find somebody who's management material. First off, by the fact is that they can get their job done when the supervisor ain't there. If they can get their job done and do it with excellence when the supervisor is not there, then they have the gift of self-motivation. And self-motivation because they value what they're doing. They either love what they're doing or value what they're doing. They like the workplace. And when people see that, then they also the knowledge. They're a disciple of where they're at. They want to learn more. They want to know more. And so I tell people, if you ever want a promotion, get the book. There's always a book. Everybody said there's always a book. Regular employees don't even know there's a book. Regular employees only get the handbook. I ain't talking about the handbook. Because I worked at McDonald's. There was the handbook of the regular employees, and then there was the book of management training. And that's the book you want. You want the management training book. Because if you ever can get access to that management training book, you can know what it takes to be at the next level. Ooh, glory to God. And you know how many people ask for the management training book before they're actually promoted to management? Only the ones I'm talking to that get this and the ones that other preachers have been talking to in training to do this. This is one of the things that major ministries that bring up great wealth talk about. Find the book of that or get yourself a mentor who is the walking book. If you want to know how to be wealthy, don't hang out with the garbage man. Hang out with the multimillionaire. Hallelujah. And so while the owner is away, how many knows that the owner right now is away, but he's coming back? So turn to somebody and say, I am in kingdom financial wealth management. I have to know how to invest. The Lord has invested in us. The Lord has invested everything, his word, his power, his spirit, his life, his hope, everything that is a treasure in the kingdom of God, he has invested to us. Investing is the ability to turn assets and resources into increase. Somebody say that with me. It's the ability to turn assets and resources into increase. So this is why you try to limit going out and getting a loan for something that's decreasing in value. Name one thing that decreases in value the second you drive it off of the lot after you purchased it. A car. You need the car because you're going to use it to get to work, so it has value for that. You need transportation. If you don't have transportation, you have to get yourself a bike. If you don't have a bike, you're going to have to hoof it. And if your work is too far away, you're in trouble because the buses don't connect. Miss Katisha found that out years ago. The buses don't connect right in Springfield. And now she's got her own bus, praise the Lord, going all across the country called a truck. Hallelujah. And so you've got to know how to increase. Now, this means investing is not sitting on zero. Because if you understand anything in this particular environment, if inflation is at 8% and you're getting 1% from the bank, you're losing 7%. And the power or your purchasing power is going down. So in the time of inflation of 8%, you got to know how to invest to get 10 or 12% or higher. If you don't know how, you need to find somebody that knows how. You say, well, I'm just living on every little thing that I've got and I spend it all up. Well, I'm not talking about spenders here. I'm talking about folks who know how to manage. Because if you spend everything up on you, you will not be able to multiply yourself. Okay? So doing the work. Say, it takes work to increase in value. Somebody say, I got to go to work. That's why I increase with a paycheck. So if I learn how to do management investing, I can go to work managing and investing and also have more. But turn to somebody and say, Jesus, trust me. Woo! Jesus, trust me. This is huge because the enemy is constantly trying to break at you that you're a failure and that you can't make it and you're untrustworthy and so on. But you've got to know in the very framework of your anatomy, Jesus, trust me. I've got stuff the enemy doesn't want me to use. I've got valuable stuff the enemy doesn't want me to multiply. I've got things that he doesn't want. He don't want me to multiply my witness, multiply my testimony. He doesn't want me to multiply my smile, multiply all the goodness that God has given. Because once I start to give away and start to invest in somebody else's life, there is going to be an increase. There's going to be a multiplication. I'm not just trying to multiply myself. I want to be great myself and along with a bunch of others that I have helped. Matter of fact, to be truly wealthy is to have enough to do everything that God has called you to do and to help somebody else be about the Father's business. Amen? He trusts us. Now, my abilities, somebody say my abilities, came from God, but they were developed in partnership. You have a set of abilities that God placed in you and hardwired into your being from the time you were in your mother's womb. But it's going to take a partnership to develop them. The sad thing is, sometimes when we were young, we had the wrong partner. And we were not developing the right things. But when you come into partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ, He always helps you develop the right skills. That's why I say to everybody, if you sin, you get stupid. But if you get with the Lord, you get smarter. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. You find that out through the neurological brain prints. Hallelujah. It's actually scientifically proven that we're supposed to get smarter. Now, if God's people are getting smarter, that means I'll have less trouble from the ones who are getting smarter. And I'll have more testimonies coming from the smarter ones. Isn't that cool? I love that, because when I look at this, I'm going, whoo, hallelujah. There's going to be a bunch of God's people that actually get so smart and so blessed that their testimonies are shining so much that there's a whole couple services. I'll just go, tell it, tell it, tell it. Look what the Lord did through your life in partnership, developed in partnership. And that requires us to be yielded and teachable to Him, because He holds the genius. God holds the genius that He's transferring into our life by walking with Him. Now, when we first start walking with Him, that means we're clueless to His genius. We actually don't know some of the things He's even talking about. There's some things that He introduces us to we've never experienced in our life. Matter of fact, go ahead and say, I'm okay with that, because He's got it all from the end all the way back to the beginning, and I can go ahead and walk with Him. I'm okay with experiencing new things with Christ Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Each of us are not in competition with each other. Rather, each of us stands on our own merits. This is what's so incredible about this parable, is because somebody has higher skills. I do not to be intimidated by their higher skills, but know that I have my own merit and I can work in tandem, in partnership with what God's doing, and celebrate everybody's successes. Glory to God. So the wealth of the kingdom is not ours per se, yet we are heirs to everything. It is His. And it is delegated to our care. See, when we begin to understand that while we're here, we are in training for reigning and in schooling for ruling, that we are managing what He gave to us. He gave you a body. You better manage the health of it. He gave you a mind. You better manage your mind. He gave you emotions. You better manage your emotions. And you got money. You better manage your money. Because anything you don't manage will turn around and control you. Mm-hmm. My doggies learned first off who was alpha. They didn't like it at first. And there was things that sometimes they wouldn't obey Brittany. They wouldn't even obey Prophetess till she got herself something that they knew they better obey. I found that they didn't like a broom. Princess run her nose into the edge of a bristle broom while we were having play. She didn't like the broom. And so I don't even have to touch her with the broom. But if she's out of order and she don't hear my voice right when I go, and she's all I got to do is touch the broom, show her the broom. She's an instant submission. And so when they yielded to authority, they became protected. When they didn't yield to authority, they were trying to find a hole up there on the James River, and they could have been splat all over the highway. They had to have authority in their life that knew greater than what they knew. And how many are glad that the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, he knows more, and the Holy Spirit will help keep us safe. Amen? So it's delegated to our care for our utilization according to his will, not according to our will, to bring profit and increase to the Lord. What happens is the Lord says this. He said that you could go ahead and do your works so that men would see your deeds, your good deeds, and then give thanks and glorify God, your Father, whom had made way for you to do that. And so here that goes along with that. Let's read on. How many are getting something out of this right now? It's going to also help you in your daily walk as well. So the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. How many percent return is that? 100% return. It means he has 100% of the original money, and now he's made 100% profit. How many knows that 100% profit on original return is double? He doubled the money. Somebody say, I've heard that double before. Hallelujah. Double, double. This is the power to double, 100% return. Whatever that you're given, you can now produce exactly what's been given to you. You've been given salvation, you can produce another soul. You've been given joy, somebody hangs around you, you shouldn't be going into depression, they should be getting into joy. Whatever you have that God's given you, when you utilize it correctly, it multiplies and doubles somewhere else. All right? Says the servant then gained 5 more. Now, the servant with 2 bags of silver, how many knows he had a lesser ability than the first one? But let's see what happened with him. Because a lesser ability, he should have made less than 100% because he had lesser ability. Let's take a look at the servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. Now, he didn't earn 5 because he didn't start with 5. But he had 2 and he earned 2. So 2 and 2, double, 100%. His ability produced the same outcome in percentage as the one with the greater ability. I want to let that sink in just a minute. Just because they had more of something didn't mean they couldn't produce double of the something. Turn to somebody and say, no matter how big and how wonderful somebody else is and how far, oh, they might have a greater time with the Lord, but if whatever the Lord gives me, I have the power to double because I've been taught, trained, tested, and trusted. Glory to God. And so the servant now that had one, that received 1 bag of silver. Now, if we just go with the trend, we got 5 and he doubles it. 2 and he doubles it. 1 should have doubled it and added another 1 and come with 2 bags. Did he have the same opportunity? Yes. Could he have the same doubling power? Yes. But let's see what the one servant did. The one servant that had the 1 bag of silver, he dug a hole in the ground. Oop. Did he invest it? No investment. And hid the master's money. And after a long time, their master returned from his trip. So we understand this on the head, but I want you to look at 19 again so you don't miss what the Lord said. Who is the master he's talking about in the parable? Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus returns from his trip and calls those that are his disciples to give account of how they used his kingdom finance, his kingdom currency. This is always, there is always the day of accountability. Just because the owner went away didn't mean that it wasn't his. And the one who is the owner is allowed to give accountability because what was delegated now has to be supervised. Says, okay, there's going to be accountability. Somebody said, yep, there's accountability day. So we work in while we're waiting for the Lord to return. The first 5 bags of silver honored the confidence that his Lord had placed in him and began doing what he was taught and trained. He handled the money of the owner with skill of investing, earning profit, producing increase, wealth managing, and doubling what was placed in his responsibility and care. Likewise, with honor and confidence, the second did the same. Why? Because the master had confidence in them. They returned the investment of confidence. because the master honored them to delegate authority and resources, they then produced honor back to him. So the second did the same, working diligently with the money and skills he'd possessed to invest, earn profit, produce increase, and with financial management, doubled the Lord's money. The third buried the master's money in the ground, hiding it, doing nothing with it. No productivity, no investing, no increase. Now, how many know two of them are probably going to get celebrated and one of them's in trouble? Now, is it the master who's going to get them in trouble? No, the one guy's actions get him in trouble. Is it the master that's going to give the celebration to the other people without doing anything? No, the people that did something are going to get the celebration because whatever that they produced, they're going to be rewarded for. How many knows there's consequences and there's celebrations? So we work while waiting. It is very clear that the Lord's money and the servant's skills are different. This is where those that have been in church for a while have heard it preached that the talents has to do with your skills, has to do with your giftings. It's all in some of the commentaries. Has to do all this, but then the Lord stopped me and said, wait a minute, there's money and then there's skills. He said the skills were given and in partnership developed. So that's those skills and giftings that the Lord has given to you. But the money is not the skills. So I've got a skill set of playing the saxophone, but my saxophone is not the Lord's money. It is a skill set. I have preaching, but preaching is not the Lord's money. Preaching is a skill set. Teaching somebody, touching somebody's life, whatever skill set you have, writing or getting on online and encouraging somebody or doing the things that you do, whatever your skill set is, even your career skill set, is one thing that's been developed and came up, but it is not the Lord's money. So I'm going to challenge anybody that's heard that before, challenge them on this. Because you see, I believe what one of the great missionaries in South America said this, prayer is the transaction through communication, but faith is the currency. Said I had bunches of kids to feed, I had everything like this, and I didn't have any sponsors at a time. So I got on my face before God and said, Lord, you are the supplier of your work. I need some money. The Lord said, use your faith. I call that money in that has to do with it because you said that you would supply all my need according to your riches in glory. In Christ, I'm in Christ. There's the glory. I call for it. And as they called for it and prayed for it, people would respond that they didn't even know and show up with resources to help do what God had said. Faith is a currency. It's not minted by the federal government. It is not paper by which that you can take and tear, but it is a currency. Matter of fact, in the parable, he talks about the bags of silver. Silver, literally in the meaning in the Bible, silver is the value of exchange by doing business. Doing business or buying and selling and trading and investing. Gold has to do with kings and has to do with major transactions of government. Gold is government. Silver is business. Somebody say, I must be about my father's business. So I must be exchanging and looking for value and investing and trading. Let's take a look at faith. And we're going to call the Lord's money faith. How many knows that he then gives you the measure of? Because word, his word, which is his communication of the transaction, needs the resource to pay for it. And he said, the way that you please me to get paid for it is faith. Faith is trust and confidence at such a level that whatever that the genius says, whatever that your God says, whatever the person who already knows more than you do says, you trust that enough to do it, even though you don't understand. Faith. I just hear that the Lord heals. So I'm going to leave out of my tent, defy law, and grab the hem of his garment, having said in myself, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She was using kingdom currency. So give God a praise right there. Give God a praise. So worry is not a kingdom currency. Faith is a kingdom currency. Fear is demonic currency. Faith is the kingdom currency. Faith is worked by love, Galatians 6 and 5. Faith is worked by love. So love is a motivator of that currency. So if you do not, Paul said you can have all of these prophecies, you can have everything else, but if you don't have love, then your vocal, your communication, your transaction is a tinkling cymbal. But if you have love, faith gets engaged because love causes faith to go to work. Somebody say love causes my faith, my kingdom currency, to go to work. James says this, faith without works is dead. So it has to be detached from love to not be able to work. But if faith doesn't work, because if God's currency is not at work, moving, functioning, doing something, it is now dead in the water. It only has value when it is working. If you don't use your faith, it will lose value. And pretty soon it'll be tough for you to believe. But when you already know that you know that you know the God you serve. Matter of fact, Lester Summerall turned to Pastor Parsley when Pastor Parsley was just a young minister. And Pastor Parsley said, oh, pray that I have more faith. And Lester Summerall just went, You need to know what faith is. Faith is knowing God. The more you know God, the greater the currency and the value of your faith. Because faith pleases God. Anything else? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that everything else. Did you know that it is your faith at work in your worship? Faith at work in your prayer. Faith at work in your praise. Faith at work in everything you do that pleases God. Obedience is faith at work to the word that's been given. Faith pleases God. Faith purchases. Faith obtains. Faith comes, I'm just paraphrasing, you can find all of these scriptures there. If you look these up, you'll find scriptures. Comes forth as pure gold when it is tried by fire. Faith credits your account with righteousness, Abraham. Faith, it is the just live by faith. The just do not live by pumping you up with encouragement. The just do not live by attention. The just live by faith, confidence, trust in the word God gave. It is the currency of our lifestyle. Faith manifests healing. Daughter, thy faith hath made you whole. Sir, thy faith hath made you whole. You accessed it by faith. And to some, he gives the very gift of faith, the gift of faith to help someone else whose faith is not there enough to be able to be healed. This morning, we saw the Lord use the gift of the Spirit and show prophetess a vision to a gal, first time in church, unsaved, and prophetess goes down to her and begins to tell her, and right when she started heading towards her, the girl went like this, didn't she? She was like, oh, no, come my way. But after the Lord was done, she was in tears. God shows prophetess something back years ago that had been, all right, that was Jeanette. Let's go a little bit further. Says, I see a car accident. Starts describing a car accident. And you were here this morning, know the change that happened. And we're going to continue to follow up on her. That was an incredible first-time experience for her. She probably has never experienced anything like that before. Somebody telling her things. She asked if you all had given a writ, you know, some kind of bio behind the scenes or anything. Some people know they try to think, you know, who told them that? Well, the Holy Spirit did. And the Holy Spirit's never wrong. He's never wrong. When you're flowing in that vein, he's never wrong. And the Lord used that to spark love and faith in her. And we're going to continue to pray that it comes to fruition. Amen? All right. Faith has value that can be tested, and faith can grow. Somebody shout, faith can grow. If faith can grow, it can grow in value. If faith can grow, it can grow in strength. If faith can grow, it can grow in several ways. I'm going to show you that faith is designed that as it is to be used and put to use, it will grow. Trading with faith currency produces more faith. Somebody say that with me. Trading with faith currency produces more faith. There's two ways to grow faith. One, you grow your faith by continually obeying God, and now you can believe God. How many know it's easier to believe God for what you already believed him for before and he came through? Right? And now you go on to the next step, and the Lord usually takes it up another notch, because if you don't take it up another notch, it's not faith. It's memory. Every time I believe God for something, why am I in a heavier fight this time around? To cause your faith to grow in value, causing you to go to God and know him more, and more faith to come in, and the word to be blended, and you to use your faith. Because if you can do it without using your faith, it ain't God. I'm going to say that again. If you can do it without using your faith, it ain't God. It's just you. Second one is that when you grow your faith, you can produce faith in someone else. So when we tell testimonies, we're telling testimonies of what God has done. There's some people that have never, ever seen it. It starts building faith in them to expect to see it. So then when miracles happen that they've never seen, they get to see it because they're hanging around people who already have seen it and can believe God for it. Matter of fact, prophetess had come across one of the prophets that said this: once you have operated in it and you continue to go, God has released it into your life and you can reproduce it over and over again. So because blind people, the Lord has opened up their eyes in our ministry from the very first time they're going, and that I inherited because the Lord opened up my dad's eyes from blindness. He tells the testimony. I believe it. It passes into me to be able to believe for it. And when we go on the evangelistic field, the very first miracle that happens in Wood River, Illinois, is a blind man. All of a sudden, instantaneously, his eyes are open and he can see. So all these years later, I go to Africa and blind eyes are open. Come back in little David Batak, whose glasses were so bad that he was having to read up like this and couldn't hardly see. And now, praise the Lord, he's into football practice for Central High. Glory to God. And he better be able to see that defense, because the Lord wouldn't put him in there if he couldn't. Hallelujah. And he's reading 8 pica. I can't even see 8 pica with my brand new glasses. I have to get my glasses and a magnifier. Because the gift wasn't for me. The gift was for me to give away. I have to find somebody else that wants to pray back and give me back the gift. But you can produce faith in someone else. Matter of fact, by telling what you know God has done, and if they are a believer in God, their faith will begin to build because you're talking about what you know God to do and how he operates. Turn to somebody and say, I have faith wealth management. So if faith is God's kingdom currency and you are a wealth manager, he has given you faith to manage and faith to invest. Investing faith in God into others that they might believe. How many knows that happens when we testify and we tell them about Jesus? And when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we have told them about the love of the Lord, and the love of that in our faith turns the faith seed on that's inside them to be able to believe in the love that Jesus has given. Paul writes that I am saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What was the currency? Faith in whom? Jesus Christ, right? So the grace came from God. That is the first and the work that he did. But now I have to use faith to produce a connector that makes the transaction happen, and sin goes bye-bye. As I repent of my sins before the Lord, I have to have faith that and trust that he is faithful to forgive my sins. See, the faith all throughout it. Faith in God is producing God's will in the earth. Faith in God is speaking in faith and possessing it. We see that in Mark 11. We see it, have faith in God. To the person that believes and speaks a thing, when they pray and earnestly believes for it and doubts not in their heart, they can have whatever they say. Faith in God will cause you to have, possess, whatever that you speak in faith. Turn to somebody and say, I need to make a list. What the Lord says is mine, and start calling it to me. Because the prayer of faith, which is faith mixed with prayer, the prayer of faith declares the outcome. The prayer of faith is not, Lord, please touch Katisha tonight. The prayer of faith is, Lord, I thank you right now, and I speak to that which you have promised and that it's coming to pass. Be healed. Be made whole. Come forth. Be uplifted. Be saved. Be delivered. Those are the end things. You're commanding the end. The prayer of faith commands the end result, not begs God to try to do something. Because when you're knowing God, so look at that statement there, faith mixed with prayer. Knowing God increased my faith to then pray in communication from a currency that knows God and a vessel that knows God. Faith has to match the vessel carrying it. The currency. So if someone comes up and they only have 10 cents or $10 with God, they cannot believe God for a $5 million transaction. Because their insides will then begin to say, this is heavier than what I can believe for. Ask me how I know. There's been times I've stood in front and God said to pray for people and my faith wasn't strong enough to actually understand, but I had to obey what God said and trust his faith at the moment that he wanted to do something. Hopefully they got faith. Then pretty soon it started to get to the place where I knew the difference of what I was carrying. And when the Lord says something, that's knowing God, when he says something and whispers in my right ear, I want to do this miracle, I say, yes, sir, how do you want it done? Because he's the Lord of the transaction and I'm just the vessel, and you are a vessel of the Lord. So it's whatever he speaks. That's why our ears have got to be open and got to be sharp, and our eyes have got to be sharp so that the Lord can speak to us so that we can move without fear, without doubting, simply in the currency of faith and speak forth what he said, match what he said, because we are an accurate ambassador. And when we do so, his power makes it happen. Somebody said his power is going to show up. Faith worked produces something. Faith works produces salvation acquired. Like I said, saved by grace through faith. New, born again believers. When your faith is working, we will produce souls. We will produce souls. Do not let the enemy take you away that your faith only works on everything else but producing souls. Faith works first on producing souls. Where was our faith first engaged? At believing in Jesus changing our soul. We want to then help them because they are the tormented. They are the hurting and they are the bound. And what good would it do if we use all of our faith on ourselves and never help them get out of their bondage? So we're going to help a lot of folks, aren't we? Whew, glory to God. I believe you can do it. Turn to somebody and say, I got faith currency. Oh, yeah, I've used my faith before. Hallelujah. I got faith currency. I'm in a relationship with my God. I know his voice. Hallelujah. And the enemy cannot engage faith. He can only engage fear. He can't engage faith. This is why the enemy is after to break your faith. Because if he breaks your faith, you'll not be able to transact in the kingdom. And transaction in the kingdom, faith literally is this. You're using faith right now in a more carnal sense because I watched you as you come in. Not a single one of you came in here, checked the seat, examined it again, looked it over, and said, you know what, I got to assess this before I, and then I got to, I hope it holds me. I'm so worried. Not a single one of you did that. Get this. Not a single one. Why? Because you enacted your faith right away. You'd already tested them. You already knew you were in a safe place. And you enacted your faith and sat right down. Plopped yourself right down on it. And it held you up. That's what faith does. Faith doesn't have to examine. Faith doesn't have to explore it. Faith doesn't have to critique it. Faith doesn't have to have 42,000 tests. Faith just says it operates. It functions. Here I go. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Because when I act by faith on what God said, there is not five outcomes, four, three, two. There is only one outcome that I will put up with. Only one outcome that I will proclaim. Only one outcome I will believe for. And I'll wear my enemy out to get my outcome. That enemy wants to hold on to the bumper. Keep holding on. I'm going to run you over when you can't hold on any longer. Turn to somebody and say, you got to learn to wear your enemy out. Stop letting him wear you out. That's a good word, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to make that a mantra for me when I'm tired. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let the enemy wear me out. Good deeds done to others bring glory and thanks to God. And not only converts, but making disciples. Did you know that once you're a disciple, then if you have been gifted, taught, and you've been trained, tested, and trusted, you can make another disciple. You don't have to wait for the pastor to do all of the house visits or all the sharing of scripture. Did you know you can take the message from Sunday and share it with about 14 other people? And in actuality, you're trying to help them become a believer and a disciple. Sharing what you know is all part of giving forward to the ones that are there. And every time you give forward, it multiplies. Every time you give away, it multiplies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You getting something out of this? Now, you're not getting it that I'm preaching at you. I love to preach in an atmosphere where there is a great hunger to do more. Faith worked produces appetite. Ooh, hallelujah. It produces appetite. We've had the first three, but now appetite. Somebody say appetite. So when my faith is engaged, I get hungry. How do you know when people are eating something else, their appetite for God goes down? When their faith is working, their appetite goes up. How many have seen that in your own life? All right. Appetite for God and investing in others to have faith. If you are alive, if your faith is alive and it's working, because faith works, that means it's alive. If it don't work, it's dead. So when it's alive, it has discharge. So faith will constantly be helping you get rid of the things that are not aligned to God and not pleasing to God, because faith only partners with that which pleases God. Also growth. If faith is alive, it grows. You're reading. So you have to ask yourself in growth from this. From your personal Bible reading, have you learned something new? In personal revelation this year, has God spoken to you something you did not know last year that you have revelation this year? That's called growing. Did you do something this year that you may not have done last year, or did it at a greater level this year than you did last year? That's growth. I said that's growth. Hallelujah, that's growth. Somebody say, I'm growing. My faith is alive. I'm growing. Right? Through your personal pursuit of God, something learned and used, revelations from God. And then fourthly, which is number seven of these four, that when faith is alive, it produces reproduction. There will be new generations and new souls. There'll be new things that are reproduced off of what you have. Are you good? Can I read a couple more scriptures really fast? Hallelujah. What is the kingdom currency? Faith. Thank you. Hallelujah. Faith. Somebody, I said, I got currency. Anybody wealthy in here with faith? Say, I'm going to believe God for others. Give me 12 people to believe. I got healed in a chair and just under the word of God. Give me 12 other people got spinal problems. I lay hands on them. Sister Heather, you got an anointing. Lay hands on folks and God heal their backs and put them back together. What's been done to you, you can multiply it on. Woo, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. So the servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more, and the master and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I've earned five more. Is this gloating or stating the facts? Stating the facts. Gloating would have been, I intended to. And the master go, where are the other five? You'll get your money in a little while. No, that'd be false pride. It is the facts. So the first reverently embraces the accountability with the facts that he did as instructed, trained, and trusted. And so bringing the original investment and the profit of double, he brought a total of 10 bags of silver. 5 plus 5 bags more. Let's keep reading. The master was then, his reaction, full of praise. Said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The master is congratulatory with words of approval and appreciation. How many knows that's a good thing when you're on accountability day and you get approval and appreciation and assessment and promotion? How many goes, it's time to celebrate? The reward, note, many more responsibilities proven to be capable of more. The test proved that servant was capable of more now. Once that your faith has come to completion of an assignment, you are now stretched to the ability to do even more. Let's go on. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more." And the master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." So we got 2 that are going to be celebrating. The second one follows suit of the first results, and his reaction, he was not intimidated by the one who did the most or had the most to start with. He came forth and said, "I doubled too." Because if you're an investor, you understand the power of compounding interest. The power of compounding. So he said he too was promoted and rewarded and approved and celebrated. Now, I'm not going to stay long on the negative guy just because I want to get to some others, but here, it's in there, and the Lord does give both ends, both positive and negative. The servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, now I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops where you didn't plant and gathering crops where you didn't cultivate." And I want you to notice, saints of God, the third servant sees quickly that he has produced nothing as the others have already produced. He has produced no increase. There is no double coming from his lack of effort. So he explains or give excuse to why he didn't act on good faith shown by his master when entrusting to him the 1 bag and having confidence in his tested, trained ability to reproduce another bag. He fires off his own assessment and appraisal in dishonor of his master. "I knew you were harsh." So I looked up harsh, stern, tough, shrewd, hard. In other words, the master was not the Pillsbury Doughboy. He was more like a drill sergeant. He was firm. And great business people are firm. God is firm. He's loving, but he's firm. He chastens those he loves. So when we take a look at it, the assessment was, "You are too harsh for my gift to work." Now, wait a minute. Aren't you the one that entrusted me and did a whole... The master did the whole scenario of evaluation and said that the man was able and capable. But he says it's the master's fault. So because I was afraid of your sternness, your prophetic nature, your apostolic nature, your business nature, your military nature, your governmental nature, your authority nature, all the things that are leadership quality. He did not say you were evil. He did say you are harsh. Turn to somebody and say, "Elijah was harsh. Elisha was harsh." Jesus called folks hypocrites. Vipers, a den of vipers, whited sepulchres full of dead man's bones. He called people out in public. He called the religious that were trying to lord over other people wrongfully. He called them out. No wonder they wanted to kill him. Now notice that he said to your heart, "This is not a thank you for trusting me." Rather, an indictment that his master was to blame for his lack of action. It was a false assessment to blame his master for being a scary boss and an unjust businessman by harvesting and gathering where the master did no work. His accusatory claim was intended to cover his non-use of his own skills. It was to cover the trust that his master had so graciously given him, and he had squandered away that opportunity. He said, "I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. I hid it in myself, and I refused to use my faith." So here, you have your seed of faith back. Your seed money back. Your currency back. The servant claims that the master, the Lord's rough and tough way of discipline, training, and business nature caused him to have fear. How many knows the Lord Jesus Christ? The only fear that we're going to have is reverence. And that he would fail and that he would lose everything. So the master trusted him, but he didn't trust himself. I'm going to say that again. The master trusted him, but he didn't trust himself. So he decided that hiding was better than work. And then he thinks that he can get by with only preserving the original capital of the silver without any productivity, making the silver of dead value. He shows lack of respect, lack of honor, and lack of trust. So the master said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's go celebrate." Nope. His master says, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops, if your assessment is true, that I didn't plant and gather crops where I didn't cultivate, you should have at least given it to the bankers and earned interest. They would at least invested it for me and made something." The master's response is not congratulatory, rather one of rebuke. Wicked for falsely accusing the master, which he had no right or authority to do. Then lazy because he had not worked a single day since his master had left. Dishonoring the master. How many know some folks when the boss walks out into the other place, there's some workers don't work? How many have seen some of them around? And you just pray for them to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost so they'll be good workers. Because if they ain't good workers long enough, what do they do next? Now, they don't do what he did. What he did in the story was a little opposite of what some of the rest of them do. They try to have a real close relationship with the supervisor so they won't get fired. They'll bring the supervisor donuts and other stuff and pay for their lunch when their productivity down here. Your productivity is up here because you're a child of God working under God. You know your skill set and you're doing it and you're going forward. And the supervisor overlooks you. It'll only happen so long before the Lord will remove the supervisor. And guess who will be offered the job of supervisor? It may take a while. Now you can do another thing. And you can go above their head. Or you can try to find something positive that the supervisor actually does and move to that positive, because actually finding something that's real and commending something that's real is not brown nosing, because it's real. State the facts, right? Amen. Otherwise, pray for them. Amen. And so the correction of the servant's assessment was truly that he believed, and why not at least, if he believed it, do the minimum? Why didn't he do the minimum? Well, the man got stripped of what he had and given to the man that had the 10. And the Lord explains in the parable why this happened. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. Folks, we don't have to pray as much for more as we have to do with use what we got, and more will begin to show up. Matter of fact, a man said it this way. He said, if you will work beyond what they have said you should, you come in early, you stay late, you do excellence, you shine brighter than the other people who are doing just the bare minimum to barely get by. You do the excellent path, and the very powers of the universe, God, because they rewrote it, because originally in his earlier statements he says God. He said, God will make sure that your good works of working above will bring you up to where you were working to. How do I know this to be true? Well, Sister Mila started rounding up Brother David Barton's paycheck years and years ago, just rounding it up. And guess what? His next pay raise would match the tithe they were rounding up to. And then she'd round it up again, and then God would have to give a pay raise that would match that. Because as you sow in faith and trust in God, it goes up. Let me finish this up, Brother Dave, because I know he's got a lot of testimonies over there, too, of how things work. Every one of us has good ones, hallelujah, and faithful ones. Notice this, that he said, then you will have an abundance. So it goes for use what you got, more will be given, and then you'll have abundance. But to those who do nothing, even that which they have will be taken away. And then he goes on and pronounces that there should be a throwing out of the bad servant. I don't want to leave it there. I know the chapter leaves it there, but I don't want to leave it there. I want to talk to you just for the next 5 minutes. Rewards for producing faith. Because notice that the ones that produced out of that faith currency, there was a commendation of the Lord. There was being honored in front of everybody openly. The Lord will do that. Even though you do some work in secret, he will reward you openly. Don't get embarrassed. Just give God all the glory and say, yep. That's my God. He's doing it and I receive it. Reward for faithfulness. He rewards you with promotion and celebration. I got to ask you this question in my next 4 minutes. When is the promotion that is in this parable? When is the promotion? The master has given money. We are between. The master has returned. And the master has given accountability. And now he gives promotion. When? Is this promotion? Oh, it's not taught by very many. There's very few that will show you this because they will get all locked up into how that it works for your daily life of business when all these principles do work. But now let's look at the kingdom because the Lord returns to rule the nations from the city of Jerusalem. This is the 1,000-year millennial reign. This is the ones that his celebration is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life and have been able to go through much suffering and come out on the other side and still produce by faith. Because he said, when I return, shall I find faith in the earth? That's why you're in schooling for ruling and training for reigning. So the promotion to more responsibilities happens in the millennial reign. Not only what he does here, but he is looking for those who are management material, that are sons that love God, that know how to operate by faith and trust in God. And then he gives more responsibilities to those that have managed well, that know how to double. Ooh. You may not run some things here now completely, but if you do what God said do and use your faith as currency, you're going to be the management he counts on during his rule and reign. 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to explore Luke chapter 19, which most Bible scholars for the last 200 plus years have said that Luke 19 and Matthew 25 are the same parable, just rephrased. But I'm going to prove to you in 2 weeks that they are two separate parables. This parable is one on this level, and Luke 19 is at another level. One is management. The other is government. We're going to dig it out in a couple weeks, and we're going to see how the Lord speaks in the book of Luke 19 and what is different about that. Even though scholars have written them all together, we're going to make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth. How does that apply to your life? If your mindset is on the fact that I am using kingdom currency, I am in knowledge of the Lord, I'm using my faith as to what he has said, then whatever the enemy in the world can throw at you, you can reverse every curse. You can come out on top. You can be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, because you have the ability. Faith will change things. The word of God mixed with that faith, when you believe it, it starts changing all the outcomes and the manifestations. It can start one way. Matter of fact, I will tell you simply this. I started with a field. We purchased a field over there in Kickapoo Prairie Estates. Started with grass and dirt. Envisioned my wife and I a house. Believed God for a house. We had been blocked years before from a house We had lived in a mobile home and then upgraded to the, built our own mobile home that HUD took my design and then reproduced it. They got it HUD approved and we were able to reproduce it. I didn't get nothing for the copyright. I know I should have guarded my intellectual abilities. But we tried to look for a house and we're blocked. We couldn't get a house. So we used what we did have at the faith level we did have. And once we got to the next, we lived up here while our house was being built. We lived up above and we were still traveling. And then we had to believe God for a house. There's people come out. They tell my daddy-in-law, what do these kids need a house this size for? Because the foundation will tell you how big the house is going to be. If your foundation is small, you will have a small house. It takes longer to build a big foundation. And once that foundation was in, there was people said, my God, they put an Olympic-sized pool in here. What are they doing? How does two people and one baby two little babies and one on the way? How is it the three kids and mom and daddy need a house this big? Well, they didn't see what I saw. They didn't see what my wife saw. What we saw was we're going to have people in here. In our front living room, 37 people were gathered to dedicate our house. In that front living room, 50 young people were rejoicing and praying to God, have been in there. Men's groups have been in there. All of our workers have come over to our house. We've had many get-togethers, and we can house many people. Matter of fact, before we put together our basement, and it was still undone there and hadn't been totally remodeled, completely. I looked out into that as just different little stakes around, and I looked at my wife and I said, my God, honey, our basement is bigger than a lot of churches we preached in. Because it grew. It grew. And I'm not saying that to say that it's something that I'm dreaming for. I already live it every day. You're living something that faith has produced. Everything faith produced. It was a drawing on paper and grass, and faith produced it. I had to have faith in other people's abilities to build, and they had to do it according to the faith plan. They had to line up to the faith plan. They tried to put in square windows instead of spiral top windows, and my wife said, get them. I said, wait a minute. We went and picked out them other windows. You're taking these out and taking them back. That'll cost us now. I don't care. You're the one that messed up. Take them out and take them back. What we have called for and designed, we are not compromising from what our whole plans are. And if you can't do that, we'll fire this contractor right here. We'll get us one that can. Right? Because the thing is getting what you know. I'm looking at a people that there is so much right now getting ready to burst out. New levels, new things that you've never experienced before. I want you to turn to somebody and say, your best days, they're right in front of you right now. Because you got more faith currency than you had before. Would you give God a praise? Hallelujah. And others come forth. Would you stand to your feet, and as the praise team comes forward, and would you find somebody around about you, two or three partners, folks that you can hold hands with? I feel body ministry, corporate ministry. And I just want you to speak to the value of faith. You've come this far by faith. 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 Faith believing. Faith receiving. Get where you can look at them. Get where you can look at them. You got to speak it. Get where you can look at them. I'm looking at a wealthy person. Kingdom wealth. You got here by faith. It took faith to stay inside these doors. Faith to every place you go. The Lord has sharpened our axe. Now he's going to grow our faith for the transactions that are ahead. Tell them, know God more. Know your God. Know your God. Your daddy God is wealthy. He said you can access everything by faith in my word, faith in my son's name, faith in me, and my faith in you. Now pray for them. Pray for them. Say, Lord, they're rising up right now. Anything that they have, everything that they have a challenge, they have enough faith to overcome it because it's in them. It's in them. Right now, faith is coming up. Faith is coming up higher. Faith is growing in value. Faith is going to a new level. Faith.